Good to see everyone out this morning. What a wonderful week we have had this last week. We had Brother J.R. here with us, and he was preaching on the series Light the Fire, and it has just been a blessing for all of us to help us to rekindle the flame in our hearts and begin to continue to grow here in Greenwood, both spiritually and take our work into the field here in the city of Greenwood and the community surrounding our neighborhoods all around about to tell others about Christ and what it means to us and what His salvation can mean to them. So it was a great week. This morning, as has been read, we're going to start, if you would, if you probably already have your Bibles turned there, but go with me back to Psalms chapter 1. And I asked Brother Kevin, if he would, to lead that song for me this morning, because our lesson this morning is called, entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. I thought this might be fitting to go along with the lesson. I can't do justice. I'm not experienced and qualified enough to do justice to what Brother J.R. has done in his many years of experience. But I just want to take a little time this morning to walk us through some verses that God tells us in His Word about how we can be closer with Him. And so as we look this morning, the first thing I want to look at is in Psalms 1, 1 through 3. And I want us to look at the idea of spending time with God leads us to a closer relationship with Him. When we look at Psalms 1, 1 through 3, He says, "Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and has not stood in the way of sinners, and has not sat in the seat of the scornful." And verse 2 is the one I really want to key in on. "But his delight is only in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivulets of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and all which he does shall be blessed." When you look at verse 3, what does that make you think of? To me, I see the tree that it's talking about that has the water coming to it, and it takes in the water it needs for nourishment through its roots. When you plant a garden, do you just throw the seed out and hope it rains? And if it doesn't rain, just let it go? You have to nourish that garden. You've planted it to receive the crops from it. So you nourish it. You take care of it. You love it tenderly. You water it as you need to. Verse 2. Let's take a look at verse 2. I want to break this verse down a little bit. The first part of verse 2 says, "But his delight." His delight. Whose delight? Man's delight who is following God. Instead of finding his happiness in the society and the occupations of the wicked, he finds it in the truth of God. The law or truth of God is not distasteful to him, but he delights in it so much as to desire to become more and more acquainted with it and to have its truth impressed more and more on his heart. Let's look at the law of the Lord. The law of Yahweh, the word law in the scripture is used in a variety of ways. The Hebrew word raha means instruction or precept. It was applied specifically to the Pentateuch, or law of Moses, containing the first written and recorded laws of God. And then the word raha came in a more general sense to be applied to all the books of the Old Testament as being an application of the law. Here the word undoubtedly refers to the written revelation of the will of God as far as it was then made known to mankind. Now he says here, this man in seeking to live in the law of the Lord and guide himself by it, it says, "In his law he meditates day and night." The Hebrew word used here is haga, and it means properly to mutter, then to speak, then to utter in a low voice, as is often done by a person in deep meditation. Hence, in the usual sense, to meditate on anything, to think of it. Have you ever been going through your Bible and you've been reading it and something jumps out at you and you look at it, you read it over again, and in His law He meditates day and night. You think about it. You ponder it. You study it. What does that mean? This is the idea of what it means to meditate. And we briefly talked about this recently in some of our adult Bible studies, the difference between, and Neil's even made some comments in some of his recent sermons about the idea behind just picking up your Bible and taking 5 or 10 minutes to just read a few verses and then go on your way, but that we actually need, if we want to get closer to God, we have to actually take the time, set it apart, and spend the time looking at it, contemplating it, and trying to understand what He's telling us He wants us to do. Psalm 77 verse 12 says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Proverbs 15:28 reads, the heart of the righteous meditates what to answer. He thinks of it. He endeavors to understand its meaning. He has pleasure in reflecting on it. It is not a subject which he puts away from him or in a respect to which he is indifferent, but he keeps it before his mind and has satisfaction in doing it. Well, what about when it says he meditates day and night? Does that mean that we're constantly supposed to be in the book? Yes and no. It doesn't mean every waking moment. Obviously, we all have to have our jobs and things that we do. But when we have time and opportunity throughout the day and throughout the night, these are things that we should be thinking about and meditating on. Day and night, that is continually, as day and night constitutes the whole of time. We do this habitually, and we do it intentionally. We intentionally form the habit of meditating on divine truth by disciplining the mind to do it. We take the time to do it. We set apart suitable portions of each day where we withdraw from the cares of life. We refresh our spirits by contemplating divine truth so we can become better acquainted with God and with our duty to Him. Turn with me, if you would, over to Psalms 103, verse 22. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 22. Read with me, if you will, starting with verse 1. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from ruin? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and judgment for all who are pressed down. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in mercy. He will not always chasten, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our form. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And His righteousness is to sons of sons, to those who keep His covenant, and to those who remember to do His commandments. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O angels of His, who excel in strength, who do His command, listening to the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His rule. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In verse 1, we see something that is said here, and I want to back up and read that again. A psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. What does it mean when he says all that is within me? All my powers and all my faculties. All that can be employed in his praise. The heart, the will, the affections, our emotions. The idea is that God is worthy of all praise and adoration which the entire man can render. Can I look at myself today? Can we all look at ourselves today and say, in the past week, have I given God all the praise and adoration that I can render to Him that He's so worthy of? It's food for thought for all of us as we go through our lives. No one of His faculties of man or His powers should be exempt from the duty and the privilege of praise every day of our lives. Verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. As he goes down through here, and as we just read, he recalls and brings into recollection the many benefits that we get and we receive from God. And here, in these verses, he records them as an everlasting memorial to God that we can continually read and dwell on and think about. Just a closer walk with Thee. God loves us so much and has done so much for us. Why would we not want to be closer to Him? Why would we want to let the cares of this world take us over and draw us away from God? Turn with me over to 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. He says here in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And I want to look at the phrase, behold, what manner of love. What love? In kind and in degree. In kind, the most tender and the most ennobling in adopting us into His family and in permitting us to address Him as our Father. In degree, the most exalted, since there is no higher love that can be shown. Even God could bestow upon us no more valuable token of affection than we should be adopted into His family and permitted to regard Him as our Father. Most of you, the majority of you, know my background, my family history. But there may be some who don't. And so I'll share this with you for just a few minutes this morning. Because this really hits home with me. You see, I was adopted. At a little boy of 6 years old, living in a family with 8 children, a mother who didn't love us, a father who left us, and we were taken away by the city to be put up for adoption or to be put in homes to be taken care of. A man and woman who were 50 years old decided, since they couldn't have any children, they were going to adopt one because she dearly wanted to have a child. So they went through the adoption agency there in Missouri, and they found this family, and they had my smallest brother and I. We were the two youngest. We were set apart and sent to a farm, and we were in a family home being taken care of, and then all the other children were distributed out to other homes. But this 50-year-old man and woman, when they saw the three youngest, decided that it was not right to separate those three. They adopted all three of us. Can you imagine the challenge? At 50 years old, I don't know if I would do that. But can you imagine the challenge at 50 years old taking on three little children 5, 6, and 7. I have come to appreciate them so much. This is the love God has for us. And many times over. That's why He allows us to be called His children. All we have to do is accept Him, believe His word, and follow His teaching. And we can be adopted into His family. And He permits us to regard Him as our Father. When we remember how insignificant we are as creatures, and how ungrateful, rebellious, and vile we have been as sinners, we may well be amazed at the love which would adopt us into the holy family of God, so that we may be regarded and treated as His own children. A prince could manifest no higher love for a wandering, ragged orphan boy found in the streets than by adopting him into his own family and admitting him to the same privileges and honors as his own son. And yet this would be an insignificant matter compared with the honor which God has bestowed on us. When talking of God's love, you can't help but go to John 3:16. And we all know that by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just a closer walk with Thee. A closer walk involves coming to God with a clean heart and pure motives. Turn with me over to Matthew 5, verse 8, please. And see what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 8. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That is, blessed are the pure in heart, those whose minds, motives, and principles are pure, who seek not only to have their external actions correct, but who desire to be holy in heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God always looks on the heart. When Paul was addressing Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, what did he tell Timothy? He told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but you follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So if we're going to have a closer walk with God, it means we're going to have a clean heart and pure motives in our lives. Just a closer walk with Thee. Did you know our God sings songs about us? Turn with me over to Zephaniah 3:17 and let's look at this. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. It reads, "The Lord your God is mighty in your midst. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He is silent in His love. He rejoices over you with joyful shout." In other verses, it refers to Him singing. Our Lord and Creator of our universe sings songs about us. What a wonderful thought to know that He cares for us enough to sing about us. In Isaiah 62, verse 5, he says, "Love, joy, and peace in man are shadows of that which is in God, by whom they are created." So Isaiah says, "As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." In this verse, it says, "He will joy over thee with singing." The conversion of the Jews, as he's referring to in this whole context, he's talking about the Jews. In this verse, the conversion of the Jews, as he prophesies here, will be a subject of peculiar delight and exultation to God Himself. There will be a more than ordinary joy in heaven when the Jews return to God through Christ and the establishment of a new covenant. This event cannot be a great distance off. They are as wretched and as ungodly as they can be. The arms of God are open to receive all who are ready to follow Him. And He speaks of rejoicing when they will come back to Him. What does Luke 15:7 say? "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Just a closer walk with Thee. God is with us, And he's just as close as we want and we will allow him to be. Turn with me over to Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus is addressing his apostles here. And at the end of this chapter, he says, teaching them, I'm going to back up here a minute. We're going to start with verse 17 and then move down through 20. 20 will be the key verse. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen. Now, in reference to his apostles here, as he's talking to them, he tells them to go out and do what he's commanded them to do. The knowledge that they have, the Holy Spirit will guide them. And they are to go out with all authority and teach what he's given them to teach. And he says, I will be with you throughout until the end of the world. And whatever time that might be that they have until they pass from this life. As Jesus addresses his apostles before ascending to heaven and makes this promise to them, we can have that same reward if we but allow ourselves the closeness with God that he wishes us to have. As we pass on through the veil of life, his goodness and mercy shall follow us every step during the rest of our lives. We will not be separated from God's house with this type of close relationship, nor from God's ordinances, and shall one day dwell with him in glory. You know, the only person that can separate you from God is you. If you let others convince you to walk away from him, that's on you. And only you. God doesn't leave us. We're the ones that forsake him. So how close do we want to be? And how close will we allow ourselves to be to God? As we close out today, I want you to turn over with me Psalms 23. And I thought it fitting to just go through this psalm and read this again to help us focus on spending time in our lives every day, making sure that we take time out of this busy world. You know, when we stop and think and we look at our lives, sometimes we just need to stop for a minute. Friday night after you get off of work and you've had just the busiest week, everything has just been haywire. You know, next week coming up, you've got more meetings here, more meetings there. You've got this, you've got that. And it's all on your mind and you're thinking about it. You've got to stop, take time to focus, to study for your Bible lesson for a few minutes, get ready for Sunday morning Bible study, your class. Then you've got to work on preparing your mind to try to be focused for church services. Stop. Just stop. Take a minute to breathe. And say to yourself and think to yourself, what am I doing? What is important to me? And when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. Sometimes I get so caught up with everything I've got going on that I forget even to breathe. We have to take time, if we want to be his children, to get closer to him. And that involves more time than just reading a verse or two and running on our way and getting busy with our busy lifestyle and our busy schedule. It takes time to meditate and contemplate in order to walk closer to God. Psalms 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where are you at this morning in your walk with God? Where am I at? Is our relationship with Him close? Or have we drifted away from Him? Is He now in the distance as we have become closer with the things of the world and we've let the cares of this world overtake us? If so, as His children, this morning would be a great time for you to go to Him, ask forgiveness, and recommit your life to Him, and rededicate yourself to studying more, meditating more, and getting closer to God again. Lighting the fire, as we've been talking about all week. Lighting the fire. Maybe you're here today and you haven't started a close and personal relationship with God. Today would be a great day to start. Now is the moment where you can come and become a child of His and start your path to becoming closer to Him and learning more about Him and knowing more of what He would want of you as His child. You know, He gives us a plan of how we can become a child of His. He tells us over in Romans 10:17 to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He's given us God's Word. If we want to know it, we have to hear it and understand it. And once we hear it, do you believe it? Mark 16:16 says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not is condemned." Then He tells us, if we want to hear the Word and we accept that and we believe the Word and what its truth teaches, He tells us that we need to repent and turn back to God. And as Brother J.R. used the expression, you're going away from God, you're turning back to God, is the idea of repenting and turning back to God. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, then the next step is confessing, and confessing Jesus as His Son. Matthew 10:32 says, "So everyone who acknowledges Me before men, I also will acknowledge him before My Father who is in heaven." And then He says we must be baptized for the remission of our sins in Acts 22:16, when Peter was talking to Philip. He says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then, of course, Revelation 2:10, the latter part of that verse says we must live faithful and remain faithful to Him. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." These are the steps that He gives us. This is not a Church of Christ doctrine. This is God's teaching that He gives us on how we can become His children and live faithful to Him and be faithful to Him. So as we close out this lesson this morning, I would encourage all of us to seek each day to be more faithful to God, meditate on His Word, and live our lives as examples that we should, so that we too can have a closer walk with Him. If there's anyone this morning in the audience that we can help in any way, if we need to pray for you and you would like us to pray for you, we can do that. If there's someone in the audience this morning who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ and you would like to start your walk with Him today, whatever your need may be that we can help you with, would you come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song?